Let's read a passage in Luke chapter 2, and we got down through about 17. We'll begin reading at verse 15 this morning, and we'll read through verse 35. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same was a just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Let's pray. Father, how we thank you today for all the blessings you've given us. We thank you for the word of God we have in our hands. We thank you for everyone here that's listening. We pray, Father, that you'd give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give. Have your way in this service. Touch lost people that they might be saved. Get saved people revived. Draw us all close to yourself and help us to look for your coming. We thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me shed this coat. I just wore it. It's a shock system, you know. Every once in a while you have to shock people a little bit. I just want to know I own one. If you're looking here, last week we were looking at the account of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he'd gone to the shepherds. The angel of God with a heavenly chorus goes to these poor shepherds in the fields with their flocks, gives them the message that Christ has come and where they can find him, and that they'll find a baby in a manger. They're going to find this child in this town in Bethlehem, and they're going to find him as a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, newborn, and he's going to be in a manger, not in a normal place that you'd find a baby. You don't generally find many babies there. And we thought about all the taxing that was taking place because of Caesar Augustus and the taxing he had made. You had to go back to your own hometown. And that's why there was no room for them in the end. Joseph couldn't find a place for his young wife and about expectant mother to bear her child. And so the only place they could find was this place where they kept the animals out back. And they had to take that for a room. And the baby's lying in a manger. Now, when, again, these shepherds come, this is a baby in a manger, newborn. And when you're looking over at Matthew, when you find the wise men coming from the east to see Jesus, he's a child and they're in their own house. So it's probably a couple of years old because of the way the king killed every little baby boy from 2 years old and under. So probably Jesus was about 2 years old in the account that you have in Matthew. But the account we have here, he's just freshly newborn. And he says, "They came with haste, found Mary and Joseph," verse 16, "and the babe lying in a manger. When they'd seen it, they made known abroad saying, the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered those things which were told them by the shepherds." It is hard to keep good news. You go to some place and you see something pretty. You go up someplace and you see the leaves turning in the fall somewhere. And you say, "You gotta go. You gotta go. Listen, boy, you ought to have seen what I've seen." You go see the Grand Canyon. You tell everybody, "Man, that is one big hole. Man, I'm telling you, that's something." You go see Niagara Falls and you just have to tell people, pictures can't show it to you. You can't see, not in a movie picture, can you get the picture of what Niagara Falls is like. You just have to be there. You gotta go. Well, think about these guys. What did they do? They'd seen the Lord. They'd had a heavenly messenger. They'd had a heavenly chorus. God Almighty's told them, the Savior's born. Go find Him. And that's where He is. And these shepherds told it everywhere. And people wondered at what they heard. Man, great things are happening. You see, Israel has been sort of dead for a while. They've just been sort of down, dead. They haven't had a prophet since Malachi, 400 years. What if you hadn't had a prophet in 400 years? What if you hadn't had any preaching in 6 years? What if you had no real life, no truth? What if nothing was happening in your economy? Nothing was happening in your job, and you just sort of dragging along, and you keep looking for the promises of God, and when are they going to take place? And the last real word you've gotten is Malachi, 400 years. But now then, these shepherds have a message. We've seen God. I mean, God Almighty came down. We have the angel of the Lord appearing to us in a night. And man, He told us great things. The Savior's come. He's fulfilled the prophecy. You'll go find Him. He's a baby lying in a manger. This is going to be the sign. He's going to be a baby lying in a manger in swaddling clothes. And they found Him. And they went away rejoicing. Tremendous rejoicing at the thing that God had done for them. Then it says in verse 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. If anybody knew of the miraculous appearance and the miraculous things of God, it was Mary. She knew she hadn't known a man. She knew she was a virgin, and yet she was pregnant. She had the message. The baby has been named for already. They're going to name Him Jesus, just exactly like the angel had told her to do it. And so Mary is watching this child like no mother ever watched a child. Now, you mothers, I know how you are about your children. My wife just loves all these little bitty ones, you know. They're just newborn. I don't even want to touch them. I don't like changing their diapers. No. I don't like picking them up. The head just goes too far like that, you know. Now, when they get about 9 months and they got them big old diapers on and they're running all around, I like to trip them and shove them and pick them up and play with them and lift them and whatever, you know. And the cutest time for kids is somewhere from about 9 months to a year up till they start school. And after that, forget it. And then they really turn into monsters when they hit 13 or so. And they sometimes don't get back till 25. Sorry, ladies. Sorry, kids. It's the truth. You'll find out when you have kids. You really don't understand till you've had it. You know, everybody knows how to raise teenagers except those that have them. Anybody doesn't have them, tell you, I'll tell you what to do about that. I'll tell you how to handle that. Yeah, all these people that never had any babies, they know how to tell you how to take care of children, always. Old maid, 70 years old, never had a child in their life. They can tell you how to raise them kids. The problem is, the very young and the very old have all the answers. Those of us in between are left with the questions. You think about that. There's a lot of wisdom in that. You'll get it about 6 months from now. Mary began to think about these things, began to ponder them in her heart. Man, I'm telling you, the things that have happened to me, what a glorious thing. Have you had God move on your life? Have you had the experience of God moving in your life? What greater thing can happen to you? What greater thing can happen to you? Not your own wisdom, not your own work, not your own effort, but you've been in contact with God. I had religion for 10 years. Then I got in contact with God. He saved my soul. He changed my life. He literally transformed my future. He turned me around 40 years ago. I got in contact with God. And then a few times in my life I've done something right. I mean, you know, I believe God led me to do it. And I did it. I went out on a limb by faith. And God bless. And you walk away from something like that, and then somebody thinks they can control you because they're going to cut your salary or they're going to kick you out of here or there. It's an honor to be kicked out of some churches. Absolute honor to be fired by a bunch of deacons in some places where they want sermonettes for Christianettes who smoke cigarettes. They have no convictions. They have no stance. They don't want you hurting anybody's feelings. They don't care what the Word of God says. They just care that you don't rock the boat wherever you might be. But once you've been touched by God, how in the world could you be influenced by somebody else? You know what's wrong with a lot of preachers? They haven't been touched by God. They've never been called by God. Many of them aren't even saved. They're professionals. They just went to college, got a profession. They sort of grew up religious, and they've never been born again. But my friend, if you ever had real contact with God, God has saved your soul, God has changed your life, God has led you, God has touched you somewhere down the line, what are you worried about somebody else's opinion? Have you ever found out what God said on the matter? Then why worry about what Dr. Doodlediger says? I don't care if he's the head of Podunk University. It doesn't make one bit of difference what he says. If I've gone to God and found out what God said, I've gone to God. Mary had been touched by God. She'd born this child. She knew it was a miracle. Man, here comes these shepherds walking in from the field. These shepherds coming in telling her stories. Mary and Joseph didn't see this. These shepherds come walking in. A bunch of shepherds come walking in. These old tough boys have been out there in the hills, you know, taking care of those sheep. I'm sure they didn't have a bath recently. I'm sure they weren't dressed in their best sports coats and finest robes. They come walking in. Hey, we want to see the Messiah. We were out on the hills. And you know what happened? There was a heavenly chorus. Man, we had a heavenly choir. You ought to have heard them sing. And the praise that they gave. And this angel appeared to us. And we come in here to see. And Mary's saying, wow. Wouldn't you be saying, wow. I know you love your little baby. I know it's so special. Oh, ain't he so sweet, so pretty. Ugly as homemade soap. Never did see a pretty little baby. Have to get a little fat on them, you know, and the wrinkles go away. They get a little better looking. But Eddie was born. I walked out. I said, look like Joey Brown. Now, that won't mean much to you, but he was a comedian in my day. Looked like Joey Brown. I said, man, my boy's going to look like Joey Brown. But he became handsome. He looks like me. So. But think what Mary had. Man, I'm telling you, these shepherds come in off the field and they're telling her about the angel of the Lord appears to them, a heavenly chorus of angels singing anthems of praise to God, to us, out in the middle of the wilderness, nowhere. We're sitting out on a hill out here and we get this mighty chorus, man. And we got to come in and see what this is all about. And so they crowding into the manger out there. I mean, that became a holy place. They're worshiping this little baby sitting here. And boy, Mary said she kept and pondered those things in the hearts. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. They got a tremendous blessing. And you, these old shepherds, I'll bet you when they were granddaddies, sitting back around the fire at home, grandson comes and say, hey, Grandpa, I heard you had a real experience when you were young. Yeah, let me tell you about it. And the daughter and the son are saying, oh, we've heard that so many times. You understand what I'm talking about? They never had a greater experience in their life. Miraculous. Marvelous. They never got away from it. You could have taken them to the psychologist and psychiatrist or the seers of their days and you wouldn't have changed their minds. They'd met God. They'd seen God. They got a message from God. They had an experience with God. They testified of the experience they had with God. And they went back rejoicing and praising and thanking God. And it never left them all the days of their life. That's what I think. Now look at verse 21. When 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child. Now, that's according to Jewish law. You want to get in real trouble, take an Orthodox Jewish baby and circumcise it the day it's born. You're liable to be sitting on a lawsuit. You're liable to be sitting on a problem. They don't circumcise till the 8th day. They don't circumcise the 1st day or the 2nd day after a baby's born. Little male baby's going to be circumcised. It's going to be the 8th day after it. And that's just exactly what they're here. The 8th day, the time was right according to the law. They circumcised the child, and he called his name Jesus at his circumcision, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. See, this isn't little Joseph, Joseph Jr., Joseph the Third, or Joseph the Sixth. This is Jesus. His earthly father is Joseph, mother Mary, but he's got a heavenly father who named him, and his name is Jesus. And it means Savior, by the way. The name means Savior. He was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, after so many days, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Again, they're following scripture. And here's your scripture in verse 23. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy unto the Lord. And so you had to take a male child to the temple and buy him back from the Lord with a sacrifice. He belonged to the Lord. Every male belonged to the Lord. And so you had to go make this sacrifice and to bring him back. Now, we notice something here that's pretty interesting as far as I'm concerned. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of Moses, a pair of turtle doves and 2 young pigeons. Turtle doves and 2 young pigeons. How rich was the family of Joseph and Mary? This young carpenter and his wife, how rich were they? They weren't very rich. That's a poor man's sacrifice. That's not a rich man's sacrifice to buy back his son from the temple. That's a poor man's sacrifice. That's about as little as you could get. A pair of pigeons, a couple of turtle doves. Not really expensive right now, would you think? Not a whole lot to call it. Nothing big. Well, they were a poor family,
But as poor as they were, they followed the law. As poor as they were, they did what they could. They put the Lord first. You know, I just believe God knew the family He was putting Jesus in. I just believe He looked at their character. You know, you can't always tell about a person's character. You don't know who you're marrying. I don't care if you date them 3 years. You don't know who you're marrying. You don't know them until you have trouble in the home. You don't know them until you have a death in the family. You don't know them until you have some sickness. You don't know them until they run up against a blank wall. You don't know them until they hit problems. You learn people after you live together with them for a long time. But God Almighty can see character, and God Almighty knows what you and I are going to do, and God put Jesus into a pretty good family. It was a poor family, but I don't know that I'd hold that against it. We're all pretty plush. We're all pretty rich. We all do pretty well in the America that we live in today. Not everybody's lived like we've lived. I didn't live like this all my life. We started out poor, and raising 5 kids, you always added water to the beans, man. Didn't have any more beans. You just added water to the beans, and it went a little bit further, you know, and you made it. Sometimes I worked 3 jobs at a time, one of them being preaching. But I worked 3 jobs at a time sometimes to make a living. Most of the time, in at least 20 years of my ministry, I worked 2 jobs for sure. These were poor people. And you know, I look back on my poor times. They don't seem bad to me now. Berlin and I talk about it every once in a while. Good time. Good time. You know what we learned to do? We learned to give when we were poor. It doesn't hurt us to give now that we have a little more. Some of you need to learn how to give. Here are a couple of real poor people who don't have much, but they know how to give. They know how to follow the Lord. They know how to put the Lord first. And they go and make that sacrifice and do what the Lord told them to do. Poor times? Oh, some poor families are great families. And some families who have everything have nothing. Absolutely nothing. Your life does not consist in what kind of car you drive or what kind of clothes you wear. That's not what the real essence of life is, friend. I tell you what, we got a sweet family here. We got a family that loves the Lord. We got a family that's devout. We got a family that's going to follow the law. So they go into the temple. Her purification time has come. She's followed the law according to that. They've circumcised the child and called him Jesus. They go into the temple to make their sacrifices. And poor people though they are, they went ahead and did what they could do. In verse 25, I really want to talk about this man today. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. What a sentence. What a sentence. Read that one another time. Just take a look at that and see what's in there about this man. You want to find out about a character of man? Well, go to the encyclopedia and they give you 15 pages on somebody. I'll tell you what, the Holy Ghost gave you one sentence right there. It tells you an awful lot about this man. Simeon doesn't tell us who he was, whether he was a rich man or a poor man. Doesn't tell us whether he was a priest or a prophet or a preacher or a rabbi. He might have been a tax collector. We don't know. Probably wasn't, though. But this guy is an interesting fellow. Look what the Holy Ghost says about this man. Look what is recorded about the character of this man. He was just. Are you just? Are you just? Are you the kind of person that keeps your word? You the kind of person that cheats people if you get a chance? You the kind of person that takes advantage of somebody if you get the opportunity? Are you the kind of person that, whether the opportunity is there or not, you're the same person. You're honest. You're just. You're fair. You do things right. Right's the only way to do them. Well, that man said, this man is just. Notice what else it says about him. Devout. What do you think about when you think about somebody who's devout? Well, he's religious, and he practices his religion. There are a lot of people that are religious, but they don't practice their religion. You wouldn't call them devout. Devout means a person who not only has certain beliefs, but they live by those beliefs. They come to church where nobody cusses, and they don't cuss, but they go out in the street and they cuss. I wouldn't call them devout. People who are one thing on Sunday, their Christianity is a one day a week thing, or one day a month thing, or one day a year thing, oh, but they're Christians. Hear them tell it. Well, when you look at their life, they don't have any convictions. They don't live by anything that keeps them close to God. Well, that's not what it said about Simeon. You know what it says about him? He was just. And he was devout. Ah, but I tell you, there's another part of that sentence. Take a look at this. Waiting for the consolation of Israel. Ah, we not only have a man who has a good character and who takes care of his life, who lives the way he ought to live. This man believed the book. This man knew there was a Messiah coming. He wasn't one of those that said there's no angels. They're like the Sadducees. I know he wasn't a Sadducee. He could possibly have been a Pharisee.
He believed in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He believed the Messiah was coming. He believed the promises God had made to Israel. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. You as born-again Christians ought to be waiting for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what you ought to be doing. Some of you live like Jesus is never coming back. Some of you live like He left and He died and He's in a grave somewhere. He's not. The testimony of Christianity is Jesus lives. He's alive. He's right now working as a priest in our behalf at the right hand of God the Father in the temple in heaven. He was a prophet. He is now a priest. He comes to be a king. Greatest king the world's ever known. King of kings and Lord of lords. He's coming. And here's Simeon. He's been waiting for the consolation of Israel. This man believes the book. This man looks forward to the promises. This man spends some time with God. Ah, you got a good man here. You got a man to emulate. You got a man that you could follow. And wait a minute, there's more in this one sentence. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. Woo! Spirit-filled before Pentecost. Think about it. The Holy Ghost was upon him. Here's a man, it doesn't tell us. He came into the temple, the Bible says, led by the Holy Spirit. It does not tell us that he's a priest or a prophet or a rabbi, but it tells us the Holy Ghost was upon him. This man's full of the Spirit of God. Do you understand the difference between the church and Israel when it comes to the Holy Spirit? In the Old Testament, when David is anointed with the Spirit, or Saul is anointed with the Spirit, or somebody prophet is anointed with the Spirit came and the Spirit left. What you have as being a born-again Christian is you have not only been indwelt by the Spirit, but you're indwelt for eternity by the Spirit. It is a fixed and permanent thing. He comes never to leave. And with some of your manners, you insult the Spirit of God inside your own mind and spirit every day. What a tragedy. What a shame. Simeon here is before Pentecost, where the coming of the Spirit comes upon the church permanently. And it says the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, was upon him. I mean, you're talking about a special man. God didn't go around and reveal to the Sanhedrin, the 70 elders that ran Israel, the great leaders. He didn't reveal to them these things. But he picked some shepherds out on a hill. And then he picked a very just, devout man filled with the Holy Ghost and said, I want to show you something. Look at his testimony. Isn't it beautiful? And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same was a just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now here's a man who gets a revelation from God. I'm assuming because of the way the statement's made, he's an old man. He shouldn't see death until this takes place. So I'm figuring that he's close to looking at death. He's an old man. He's been walking with God a long time. And God had revealed to him. Now you can imagine everybody around him what they'd think if he told them this. I'm going to see the Lord's Christ before I die. Oh yeah, that's old Simeon. Yeah, poor old Simeon. He's hoping. Poor old Simeon, you know, he keeps looking for the salvation of Israel. Why, 400 years we haven't even had a powerful prophet in 400 years. We've been without a new revelation 400 years. Poor Simeon. I'm sure some of his family thought he was a little cracked. I'm sure some of his neighbors and friends thought he was a little weird. He actually thinks he's going to see the Messiah before he dies. Good night, the guy's 75 already. What is he expecting? That's an assumption. We have no idea how old he was, except that it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he'd seen the Lord Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. Are you ever led of the Holy Spirit of God? You ought to be. You ought to get sensitive enough by prayer, by reading this word, by experience, by living for God, that you ought to know when the Holy Spirit wants you to do something. You ought to know when He doesn't want you to do something. You ought to be led of the Spirit of God to do some of the things that you do. How many times did God appear to Abraham? Abraham lived to be, I think, 185 years old. 5-6 times, maybe. Out of 185 years, God comes down and visits with Abraham. You have the Holy Spirit, God, inside you every day, every night, 24 hours a day. And you grieve Him. You insult Him. You take Him where He doesn't want to go. You gross Him out with your wickedness, with your selfishness, with your foolishness. God, help us to be a little bit sensitive. Sensitive. There are things you do in front of the Holy Spirit you wouldn't do in front of your mother. You wouldn't do in front of your wife. You wouldn't do it in front of your husband. You wouldn't do it in front of your kid. Isn't that a shame? Here's a man filled with the Holy Ghost. He's got a revelation. He's going to see the Lord's Christ. And the Lord says, Simeon, today head for the temple. I just think I'll go to the temple today. Man, I feel compelled to go to the temple today. Woo! I think I just need to go make a visit today. Some of you soul winners, if you'd pray for the Holy Spirit to lead you, there would be times He would say, you need to go visit so-and-so tonight. And you'd scrap all your other plans. You'd simply put them aside and say, I got to go to so-and-so's place. And when you got there, you'd find out that God was there before you. And God would use you and touch you. What a blessing. What a blessing to pray and to be led. What a blessing to pray and to do for Him after the custom of the law. Then took He him up in His arms and blessed God. He walks into that temple to a man and woman he had never seen before and to a new little baby that's being brought in there, presented in the temple, and He takes him out of their arms. And he said, hallelujah. Woo! We got a shouting time today. Woo! I've seen it. Lord, you told me I'd see it. I've seen it. Listen to him. Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. I mean, Simeon goes in there and here's another man prepared. It's not the Sanhedrin. It's not the College of Gamaliel. It's not the leaders of the nation of Israel. It was shepherds. Now it's a devout man. God gives him certain people, specially prepared, people that were looking for the consolation of Israel to find this great truth and to see this wonderful thing. This man begins to shout and to praise God. How many babies that old man seen in his life? I just bet you didn't do that when he had his grandchildren born. I bet he didn't do that when he had his first male son born. No, he didn't. This man knew God. This man believed God. This man believed the Word of God, and he was looking for the Messiah, and God told him he'd see him with his own eyes, and he saw him, and he held him, and he began to praise God. I think that's just absolutely beautiful. And then he said, I'm ready to go. Hey, my life's accomplished. I've been looking forward to the coming of Jesus Christ. I've been looking forward to the Messiah. I was told I would see him before I die. I'm ready to go now. Now let me depart in peace. Hey, my life's over. My life's done. I've been blessed. I've seen the Savior. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Now notice what he knows about this salvation. Very interesting too. The message that he gives, the praise that he gives. Notice this man had a knowledge of the Word. This man had a knowledge of prophecy. This man knew God. Remember, the Holy Ghost was upon him. Here's the Holy Ghost upon a man. He understands the Word and he understands God. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Thy salvation is in a person. Which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. All people. This salvation is going to be for all people. Jesus is a Jew. All the apostles are Jews. Simeon's a Jew. Jesus never preached to anybody but Jews. Jesus died a Jew. You don't get into anybody that's not a Jew till the 7th chapter of Acts. You don't get to the Gentiles, the Cornelian of the Italian band. The Italians don't get saved. Gentile Italians don't get saved till Acts chapter 10. But there's Simeon. And what's his prophecy? This salvation is going to be to all people. A light to lighten the Gentiles. You know how you think of heathen rock and bug and animal worshipers? You know how you think when you think of people starving in India and all these cows running around eating everything in the way? You know how you think of pagan religions? How could anybody take a tree, cut it down, carve it, burn it, cover it over with gold layer, and then bow down to it and worship it? How could anybody do that? You in your education, you in your understanding, you with your background could think, how ridiculous. That's the way the Jew looked on the Gentile. Gentiles had all sorts of gods. Gods of the mountain, gods of the valleys, gods of the cities. A lot of the practices of them, they were homosexual practices. Many of the nations that were just simply destroyed by God when He put Israel into the land, they destroyed homosexual nations. Sodom and Gomorrah, sodomites, just like Sodom and Gomorrah. But Israel had one God, and they had a law, and they had an ethics, and they had understanding. They understood some things about God. The revelation of the Old Testament in comparison to the revelation of any other books in the world is without comparison. Without comparison. Now these Jews knew they had light, knew they had truth, knew they had the one God. And they saw all this stupid heathenism around them of the Gentiles. Well, here's Simeon say, this is going to be a light to the Gentiles. Has it been? I guess it has. I guess it has. He said right here, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Israel is an unusual phenomenon in history. I didn't like history in high school. I got into it in college and loved it and went on and got a master's in it and taught it for years and loved it.
Still love to read it. When you read about some things, it's just absolutely interesting. And Israel is one of the most interesting things in history. The nation Israel. Do you understand that almost any people their size conquered and beat and enslaved and killed as they have been would have disappeared years and years ago just in the history. But they haven't. There's probably about 30 million of them right now. You know the biggest problem Israel has today? Immigration. Jews are coming out of Russia, out of Europe, out of South America, out of America. I used to teach some kids. In one school that I taught at had a pretty good sized Jewish community in it. And I talked to some of these kids and, what are you going to do? I'm going to Israel. They were Americans from nice, wealthy homes. What are you going to Israel for? I'm going to build a nation. I'm going to build a nation. They're not believers. God's drawing them back even in unbelief. He's setting them up. Do you realize from 606 BC till 1948, Jerusalem was controlled by Gentiles? I'm sorry, 48, probably 1967. Israel was a nation, but they didn't take all of Jerusalem until 1967. So I apologize for that difference there. Israel still is around. Why? God. You can't give any other thing. Take a look at all the Indian tribes that were in America. How many of them could you find today? Some of you may be descendants of them, but you ain't going to find many of them. They just got amalgamated. What didn't get killed off just got absorbed. And that's happened to nation after nation after nation after nation throughout the history of the world. They aren't anymore. But Israel still is. The glory of Israel. You know what the glory of Israel is? Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, we owe a lot of debts to Israel. This is a Jewish book. If not all, almost all the authors are Jewish. Old Testament, New Testament. Every one of the apostles of Jesus Christ was a Jew. All the prophets in the Old Testament were Jews. Jesus Christ himself was a Jew. All the first Christians were Jews. It's a Jewish book. The truth of God, the ethics of the Ten Commandments, the law of God, the message of salvation by a Messiah and innocent sacrifice suffering for the guilty sinner, it's all Jewish. Have you been blessed by the Jews? Yes, the world has been blessed by the Jews. Ah, but the greatest blessing the Jews ever brought is Jesus Christ. He was a Jew. Never preached to the Gentile nations. Never went out of his own country to preach. He was a Jewish prophet. And he became the Jewish sacrifice. And he died upon Calvary. Paid the debt for you. Oh, I'll tell you what. You Gentiles, glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ, been brought into the church of God. You see, there's three people you have to look for in this book. There's three people, only three. You've got to look. If you want to interpret this book right, many preachers, many commentators miss it because they miss these three distinctions. Jew, Gentile, and church of God. Every one of the scriptures is to one of the three. It's either to the Jew, or it's to the Gentile, or the church of God is Jew or Gentile that's accepted Christ and been saved. You're not a Jew anymore. You're not a Gentile anymore. You're a Christian. You're a born-again believer. You're now in the church of God. My, what a blessing Israel has been. A light to lighten the Gentiles. I guess so. These heathen eyes have been lightened. These pagan eyes have been enlightened. And some of yours too. Some of you grew up bowing down, kissing the toes of little old statues in the church. Some of you went through, running a bunch of beads. Some of you live by superstition, running around on Halloween, worrying about the ghosts and the goblins. And one day God Almighty got you saved. And he gave you some truth, gave you some light. Thank God for the light you got. Israel is a phenomenon in history. As small as they are, they have a tremendous influence, even in this nation and in all nations. You can just check your history and go back into the different nations throughout history. And the biggest leaders in the government, underneath these kings and whatever, would have been Jews. You can just check it in your encyclopedia over and over and over again. Oh, yeah. Light to lighten the Gentile. And the glory of thy people, Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at the things which are spoken of them. Are they having a time or are they having a time? Not only have they had a wonderful little first baby, but oh, man, they've had a visit from the shepherds. They walk into the temple and, man, here is Simeon. And he begins to take their baby out of their arms and begin to praise God and to shout hallelujah and glory to God and pronounce these prophecies going on. And I just got a few minutes and I got a few more prophecies. And he said, and Simeon blessed him and said unto Mary, this is verse 34, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. My, what a statement. He saw the cross. He saw the death of Christ. And the rejection of Israel, Israel's rejecting of the Lord Jesus Christ means the rejection of Jerusalem. It means that in 70 A.D., the whole temple is going to be torn down. There's going to be thousands killed, thousands and thousands crucified. as the Roman army comes through and wipes them out. They rejected the Savior. And in 70 A.D., they were literally destroyed. There hadn't been a sacrifice offered since 70 A.D. Not one offered today anywhere. Their synagogue, who teach the Bible, teach Hebrew school, teach Hebrew language, do things like that. But there's no temple and there's no sacrifice. The Mosque of Omar sits right on top of it today. And the only place the temple can go is that hill. You know what's going to happen one of these days? The whole Muslim world is going to get upset because that mosque is going. It's going to happen.
Well, he said, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also.
Ah, he saw the cross. He prophesied. I don't care if you know that boy is the Savior. You watch your son be crucified. You have any mother's love? You have any father's love in you? You have any brother's love in you? You watch Jesus. Oh, a sword pierced her heart. Oh, she had some great joys, but a sword pierced her heart. But what's the outcome of it all? Many are going to fall, but many are going to rise.
Fall under sin and rise through Christ. Fall and be broken upon the law of God and rise because of the cross of Calvary. Fall and be broken because of your sins, but rise because of the blood of the Savior. Fall and be broken in your own spirit and rise because the Spirit of God comes inside of you. Was it worth it? Of course it's worth it. Of course it's worth it. Praise God. I love the testimony of Simeon.
Lord bless you.